Let's pray together first. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Showing up uninvited. How many of you have ever done this? Shown up uninvited. Yeah. Okay. So how many of you have showed up to someone's home uninvited? Or how many now have had someone show up to your house uninvited?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know something? Now I'm going to say, it's kind of like we call this a surprise visit, right? Yeah. So I know for me, I would do it all the time. I especially did it with my family. So, you know, I stopped calling my parents after I moved out. I stopped calling them saying, I'm coming over for a visit. I would just show up at the house. Now, I didn't just open the door and walk in. Well, I did. But I called out first. I certainly didn't ring the doorbell. I called out first. Hey, anybody home? You know, as you're coming in. So I did show up at their house uninvited. I felt very comfortable doing that. I would show up at my brother and sister-in-law's all the time. They didn't live too far from me. And Carl's like, did you call and see if it's okay for us to come over? I was like, no, we're just going to show up, you know. And they were always like, the kids were running around. And so it was like, you just kind of melded right in with what was going on, right? So after a while, those don't become surprise visits anymore, do they? I get this sometimes. I was in the neighborhood, so I thought I would stop by and say hi. My dad used to do that sometimes, which was really fun. We do this with our family and friends. I've had that happen here, where I come to worship, Carl comes over, I'd like to introduce you to a new couple, and surprise, it's friends from New York that I haven't seen in maybe 20 or 30 years, right? It's that surprise visit. You know, so it's kind of like, I want to share this one quick story. I was going up Carl and I had first moved here 20 years ago, and I was consulting. I wasn't a pastor at that time. And so I had a client up in New Jersey. And so I thought, oh, I'm going up there. I'm going to go drive out to Long Island and surprise my friend. She opened the door. I literally thought she was going to have a heart attack. She started to hyperventilate, grab her chest, and said, oh, my gosh. You know, she was so overwhelmed that the three-hour visit was not as fun as I thought it would be because she was still in shock. And I couldn't stay. I had to go back to New Jersey because I had meetings the next morning. So I'm like, oh, I need to be careful with who I do these surprise visits with, right? So we've sort of done that, right, on both sides, especially if you've got some good friends who just might, you know, walk over and just show up unannounced. Well, I'm going to ask you this question. What about someone showing up at your door, family or friend, okay, who has hurt you? I mean, deeply hurt you. Now, I know we all have this ring or whatever it's called where you can see who's at the door and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so you could be like, I'm not home, I'm hiding. But let's just pretend we don't have that, okay? We have a solid door and there's a knocker or even a doorbell. You open the door and there stands this person who caused you deep pain. This person who maybe didn't stand up for you when you expected them to stand up for you, who walked away during a tough time that you were having in your life. This person who stayed silent while others were gossiping about you. And maybe they even joined in on that trash talk that was going on. And there is the person. Remember, you don't get to see them ahead of time. You open the door and there they are. It's the last face you ever wanted to see again. The hurt comes flooding back. The pain is felt. Just when you thought you had gotten past it, it's all right back. What do you do? What do you do with that? Do you invite the person in? Or do you shut the door? Do you listen to what they have to say? Or do you tell them to go away, saying there's nothing that you could say that's going to make me feel any better? Do you speak first? What are you doing here? You have some nerve showing up on my doorstep, uninvited? There's lots and lots and lots of examples of these situations, right? Movies are made about it. Some of them have nice happy endings. Jerry Maguire, he shows up, right, at Renee Zellweger's Tom Cruise shows up. Who wouldn't want Tom Cruise coming and say, "You complete me"? And she says, what? "Shut up. You had me at hello." But does that really happen? Not often, does it? They're TV shows. Reality TV, oh my gosh. The not reality TV, where these conflicts will happen. So now I want to ask you this question. What about someone showing up at your door uninvited that you have hurt deeply? There's a knock on the door. Remember, you can't see who the person is that's standing on the other side of the door. You open the door and there stands this person that you caused significant pain to, who you didn't stand up for, who you walked away from during a tough time in their life, the one who stayed silent while others were gossiping about them. Did I say that right? The one that you stood silent for while others were gossiping about them. And maybe, just maybe, you even joined in. This might have been your best friend, and you were afraid of what others would say or even do to you. And there is this person at your door. It's the last face you ever would have expected to see again. And the pain of what you did or didn't do for or to this person comes rushing back at you. All those feelings you thought you had dealt with or buried come back. Your stomach drops when you open the door. What do you do? Do you invite them in, or do you shut the door? Do you listen to what they have to say, or do you start immediately explaining your behavior? Do you put your hands up in a protective mode, thinking that this person is going to hurt you, that they have come to seek vengeance? You see, this is the position that the disciples who are gathered behind the locked door, that's the position they're in. Jesus is risen from the dead. Mary came and told them that she had seen them. And it's later that evening. Jesus is on the loose. The risen Jesus is on the loose. Yes, they are afraid of the authorities and they're afraid of the crowd and they lock the doors. But they're afraid of Jesus for what they did or did not do to or for their friend. You see, they did not stand up for him. They did not defend him when false charges were set against him. When they mocked him, they didn't in any way stop the mocking that was going on. They didn't support him. They didn't speak up on his behalf. As a matter of fact, we know that Peter denied even knowing him. They might have even joined in to save their own skin, as we say. They ran away during his crucifixion. What if Jesus knocked on their door? Would they not speak? You know, shh, 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 shh. Guys, if we just pretend we're quiet, we can pretend like we're not home. There's a knock on the door. Maybe it'll go away. They probably don't even light up any candles, right? I mean, today we'd say we shut the lights out, right? Shut the garage door, put the car in the garage, hide any evidence that we're home. So they probably had no candles on, sitting around, huddled around, whispering to each other. Would they open the door if there was a knock? They don't know who or what is on the other side. And what if Jesus tried to come in, you know, turn the handle on the door and actually try to come in? What if Jesus called out and said, "It's me"? I want you to remember their relationship. This was their teacher, their Lord, their master, who they spent 3 years with every single day, eating, sleeping, walking, ministering, learning. So was Jesus angry? Is he coming for them? Is he seeking vengeance? I mean, you know, they have their ancestors who could tell them stories about the punishment God gives for their behavior. They're not understanding the new thing that is happening, and they're scared. What are they going to do? Guess what? They never had to find out what they would have done. That's the kind of gracious God we have. They never had to find out because Jesus appeared before them. We can tend to forget that a locked door does not matter to our God. A locked door is not a barrier to Jesus. It's not a matter of them inviting Jesus in. Jesus just appears. No boundaries. Because Jesus knew just how scared they were, that they were afraid of him, the risen Lord, on the loose, running around. So Jesus comes to them, just as Jesus comes to us. You see, it's not about us inviting Jesus in. Jesus appears to them, no barriers, stands among them, just as Jesus comes to us, appears, no barriers, and stands among us. And Jesus is the one who speaks the first words. And those first words spoken from the risen disciples, from the risen Christ to the disciples, is peace to you. Peace. Not revenge. Not I'll get you. Not you're going to pay for this. Not anger. And not the big D. As parents, you know what the big D is, or as kids? I'm disappointed in you. They don't even hear that. As parents, we know how powerful that can be. And as children, we know that's the last thing that we want to hear. I'm disappointed in you. He doesn't say any of that. Jesus says, peace to you. And he gives them then a gift. In John's gospel, the gifting of the Holy Spirit happens here in this room, which is different from Luke's, which we'll hear later on Pentecost. Here, Jesus gives them the gift of the Holy Spirit. He takes a deep breath and breathes into them the Holy Spirit. Do you know that the same is true for us today? Jesus comes to us. There's no barriers. There's no way. You don't say, oh, Jesus, you know, I'm ready, come. No, Jesus comes at the times when we need Jesus the most in our lives. And Jesus isn't coming to seek revenge, to say, I'll get you, to say, you're going to pay for this, you just wait. Jesus doesn't come in anger. Jesus doesn't say, I'm disappointed in you. Jesus comes and says, peace to you. And then Jesus gives us that same gift that those disciples were given, the gift of the Holy Spirit. We're listening to the end of John's gospel on this second Sunday of Easter. The end, it says, all of this is written so that you would believe, so that you would trust, because that's what belief is here. It is trust, so that you would have real, eternal life, the life that God gives, not the mortal life of our bodies, but the only life that actually matters. On this second Sunday in Easter, we're reminded that it's not what we have done, but instead it is about what God has done for us. We're reminded that Jesus comes to us Jesus gives us peace. Jesus reconciles us to our Creator God. And Jesus, through the gift of the Holy Spirit, makes us holy, what we call sanctification. And this happens daily. Believe in this God. Trust in this God. This God who knows our faults and yet loves us and comes to us and gives us peace so we can live and share real life, that eternal life that goes on from this day forth and forevermore. And so this is an uninvited guest that I say, thank you for showing up. Amen.